Hope you have your marking sheet, your sermon note sheet, fill in the blanks. Before we begin, though, I'd just like to ask the Lord to be with us again. Father in heaven, Lord, it's always good to come and kneel in your presence. And as we begin this message time of the service, we ask, Father, that everything that will be clear in our minds, everything will be clear so we can hear and understand words from the throne of grace. Father, I ask that you'll be with, especially with me, this weak vessel. For Father, I am just but a mere weak man that cannot speak eloquently or anything like that. But Father, we know too well that it is only through the humble servant that you can speak powerfully and powerful words. And so I ask, Father, for your Spirit to be with us in a special way. In Jesus' name, amen. So sleeping under the stars. Sleeping under the stars. I don't know if anyone here has ever slept under the stars before. I'm sure someone has. And it can be very peaceful. And, you know, when you're sleeping under the stars like that, you're at one with nature, for sure. And you would see on a clear night the wonders of creation, all those stars up in the sky. And I won't go into how many stars are there in the sky, but I can assure you it's mind-boggling. And that's the only way you can put it. You know, we just referenced about God and about this season. And before we begin, though, I want to make a warm welcome to those who may be listening on our live stream on YouTube and on Facebook, social media. It's a blessing that we can share the message today, and it's a blessing that you could be with us. Amen? Every person in this world knows God. Now, that sounds like a statement that may not be true, but it is. Hear me through. In the Bible, God tells us the truth about himself. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. That's Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. Every person knows there is a God. His power made the earth. His power made the stars. We see the stars on every clear night. We know there is a creator. More than this, we all have in ourselves a built-in moral compass, a knowledge that what is right is right, and what is wrong is wrong. To know right and wrong is written on our hearts from birth. I could even say conception. It is a gift to us from God. The Bible says that Jesus is the light that lights all men. That Jesus is the light that lights all men. And we know these Bible texts very clear. You can write them down if you like. Or I think it's in the back of your reference sheet as well, which it is. John chapter 1 we'll be reading from. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was what? God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Verse 5. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And verse 9, that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So Jesus enlightens you as you come into the world, right? Verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And yet this knowledge of right and wrong that we are given is incomplete in this earth. The true light, who's the true light? Jesus, who gives moral discernment to everyone, is not received by everyone. Because he is good to us, God grants us a life in which to grow in our knowledge of right and wrong. and to make full allegiance to the moral code we choose. Just think about it for a second. He gives us an opportunity in life to become acquainted with who He is in person. Consider this knowledge of God. Why do some look at the world around us, and think that it is evolving over time? Why is that? We might explain the way the world works in many, many different ways. So how can we make certain that we are not led astray by a wrong story? How can we avoid this misunderstanding, the testimony this world seems to offer us? For make no mistake about it, this world is offering us a testimony. And what is that testimony? God knew we needed exact information than what the world around us tells us in its present state. Now, we're not living in the Garden of Eden, are we? Certainly not. The world, this is on your reference sheet, the world we see has been changed by sin. The world we see has been changed by sin. When the first humans disobeyed God, the plants and animals were changed. People were changed. All the world had worked together in harmony at that time. There had been only truth. Only truth. There had been only one story. One. But when the first humans disobeyed God, the world was changed. Now it spoke with two voices, one truthful and the other confused. And we know the term for confusion, which is Babel or Babylon. And so, number four, God gave to men special revelations. He sent prophets and He gave dreams. He told men to preserve these communications, men and women. He led them to make record. And as they wrote down this record, He acted so that the revelation would be preserved from error. It would be preserved from error. Then He caused, that is God caused these revelations to be combined together in a what? In a book. And this book is the Bible. And God protected this book. Can I hear an amen to that? God protected this book. When men determined they would hide God's word in a language that few people knew, God led His servants to translate it into the language of the people. Down through the ages, many of God's servants were slain for speaking His word in the language of the people, for proclaiming its clear teaching in contrast to the traditions of men. But God's servants would not keep silent. Number five, because they were faithful, God's word has been preserved. It has been given to us today. What a privilege. We can hear His word. We can respond to His will through His word. We are here because of His word. The church exists because of His word. The Bible is also given to us to correct us. Now, in our world today, we don't want to hear about being corrected, right? Because we've arrived. We are right in everything. That's not true, is it? The Bible was given to us for correction, for admonition, for change, as we talked about this morning, Ron. For change. It protects us from wrong stories. There's a lot of stories out there, and not many of them are true. Wrong stories can come from legends passed to us from long ago, or wrong stories can be made up by men by holding or who hold wrong principles, men and women. Some modern men and women tell us that the universe was created by chance and that humans evolved over long ages of time. They claim that humans developed from tiny organisms and finally into the human species that we have today. How outrageous is that in the eyes of God? How outrageous is that in the eyes of God? Think about it. God created you perfect in the womb. He created you perfect in the womb. How dare we say we came from some amoeba somewhere, a microscopic world, and gradually became a fish, and the water dried up for some cataclysmic event, and all of a sudden we grew lungs and feet. It's outrageous, is it not? So, that is a false story. Number six, the Bible protects us from false stories. That's a good thing, isn't it? The Bible does protect us from false stories, both very old false stories and very new false stories. Because we do have new false stories on the rise right now, too. God did not need to make man in tiny steps over long ages of time. He made man and women adult, mature, and in His image in one day. In one day. And so there are competing stories in our world today. And we will have to make some choices about these stories. Number seven, God also gave us freedom to choose. Freedom to choose whatever story we want to believe. He put in your heart to know what is right. He put in your heart to seek what is right. But He does not force one to do right. He does not even force us to love what is right. And even more stunning than this, He does not force us to even know the right. A person can choose to stop knowing what is right. A person can remake or overwrite himself, and God will not take that option away because He did not create a robot. He did not create an automaton. We are free creatures. A person can choose to act in harmony with reality as it is, actually should be, or he can choose to act against what that reality is. And we are choose, as is evident today, we're all sitting here today, we are choose to come here and worship in freedom right now. I'll say that right now, because that's not always going to be the case, is it? But this does not mean that one random way is as good as another. We choose from among stories, but we do not create the framework. We hear stories. We bring them into our thought process, into our brains. We try to understand that story, and then we make a decision on that story, whether you're going to believe that story or whether you're not going to believe that story. We do not determine what is good and evil. Do you ever think about that? We don't determine what's good and evil. We discern what is good and evil. And who gives us that gift of discernment? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ gives us the gift of discernment, doesn't He? We can pretend to define reality, but we are granted choice and we can choose the lie. Number eight, God longs for us to choose His moral code because it is what is built into His reality. And there's only one real reality, isn't it? God's reality. Satan can try to imprint on us his reality, but it doesn't make it true. It is good to know how the world works. It is good to know how the world works. It is good to be able to know that humans cannot flap their arms fast enough to fly off a cliff. Isn't it? You know. The Wright brothers found that out, but they created a plane. So it is good to know that food is poisonous before you eat it. It is good to know the difference between right and wrong, so that you can choose the right and disdain the wrong. It's not only wrong to feed poison to babies. No one in their right mind would feed poison to babies, would they? It is morally wrong, not just physically wrong, but it's morally wrong to do so. That we live in a moral universe. Why? Because God is moral. God is moral, and He created it. Without God's help, we would not understand the world we live in. Without His guidance, we would bring evil into His world. We would. We would bring evil into His world if we weren't following Him. We need the air He gives us to breathe, God's air. God's air. We need the water He gives us to drink, the living water of life. We need God's understanding of right and wrong to know what to choose. And number 9, and we need His grace. We need His strength to actually do right and to stop doing wrong. You know, God is so good that He gives us all these things, not because we have earned them by our actions, but because He gives good gifts to His created beings. He is a generous God, a generous God. Everyone here is seated here because God is generous. He gave us His one and only Son to this world, which we talked about in children's story, which the world in general has come together to honor Christ's death. But sometimes it's left there. We do not serve a dead Savior, folks. We do not. Christ rose from the tomb, and He has a work to do, and He's doing it now. So what will we do with this Jesus who is in heaven right now? We were designed by God, and we are part of the moral universe. God made us in His image. He made us, in many respects, like Himself. We are moral beings, and our decisions have to do with right and wrong. So number 10, He, that's God, is the Creator. We are the creatures. Okay? But we are not just creatures. We are reflectors of Him. He does not need our worship, but we need Him. He is complete without us, but we are not complete without Him. But God created us for many reasons. God does not want to be alone, does He? Is God really alone right now up in heaven? He's surrounded by beings, isn't He? But He created us for a reason, to be a reflector of Him, to be a witness for Him, to live your life according to His perfect will. We are designed to seek God. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16 says this, "For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him." And Revelation 4:11, I'm just going to keep going through them. I think they're in the back of your scripture reference sheet. Revelation 4:11 says this, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, to receive honor, to receive power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." And Psalm 33:20 says this, "Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help, and He is our shield." We are worshipful by nature. We will surely worship. We will surely worship. But because we are damaged by sin, we are ready to appoint our own objects of worship. When we worship God, we are helped. But when we worship other things, we are harmed. Just as we are designed to eat food, and because of the impact of sin upon us, we are inclined to want to eat the wrong thing, so too we worship. But we often choose for worship the wrong God. And yet, the difference between the God we proclaim and all other gods is clear. He is a creator, the maker of all. Psalm 33:6-9 says this, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. He gathered the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses." Verse 8, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. And when He made all," Jesus made all to continuously preach. You ever hear of the foolishness of preaching? Number 11, "The creation continuously reveals God." Continuously. "And it is built into the machinery." And Psalm 19:1-6, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night show with knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Number four, their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. Number six, his going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. But no surprise here. His word is creative, for it is the word spoken by the Creator of all. God's law is intended to have a restorative impact on his people. If he can make planets and stars, then why would we be surprised that he can make the intricacies of a moral, worshiping, God-seeking human being? If he can make the world and revolve around the planets and the sun and all that intricacy, how much more can he move within us? Amen? God is everywhere present in every place. We cannot flee from him. He is everywhere and every place. He's calling us. He's calling you. He's calling me. The sun preaches to us during the day, doesn't it not? How many here feel a lightness of heart when they wake up in the morning? There's a nice blue sky. It's fairly warm out and the sun is beaming down. Doesn't your heart just rejoice inside when you wake up, as opposed to waking up and it's clouds and rain and cold and windy? Seriously. It makes a difference, doesn't it? But we don't worship the sun. That's not what I'm saying. The sun, the ball up in the sky. We're not worshiping that. But what I am saying, it is a testimony to God's love. The stars preach to us at night. Who often has looked up at the stars in a very clear night in the wintertime? Especially if you're in a dark place. And you look up at the stars, and you just say, man, I am so small. You know, I am so small. But yet God gave us his handiwork to be awed and respect and be respectful. But sometimes we ignore these things. We look instead into little screens that we have made. Little screens like this. I often bring this out sometimes as an illustration. And I often say, you know, I use these things. I use them all the time. And I use them, and they are a great advantage. Myself and Bruce had this conversation a while back. They are a great advantage. And I'm not saying they're not. But there's no doubt we can be consumed with these things. And we have to be careful, okay? Because I know a lot of people who are consumed in them. I'm not saying anyone here, but I know some people who are consumed in them. And that's all they can do. But let me put it this way. We look at a leaf, take a leaf off of a branch or a tree, but we forget the forest. People forget God all the time. People are asleep under the stars. Now, when you probably read that reference about sleeping under the stars, it probably connotated something peaceful, something at one with God. We're not talking about that picture. We're talking about totally different picture than that. They make themselves blind to God's truth. He is telling on every side. They're asleep under the stars, but they don't see the stars. Most humans are busy doing, but not doing God's will. They're busy becoming, but not becoming like Him. They're busy being changed, but not being changed into His image. In his light, we see light, and in our own light, we see mirages. The creation preaches, and the Bible instructs. But God did even more than that in number 12. The Father sent Jesus, the ultimate revelation of his character, into this world. And so we learn about Jesus in the Bible. We learn it from a childhood sometimes, and we learn it as we grow. And we learn it when we come to Sabbath school. And we learn it when we come to Revelation prophecy seminars. And we learn it in the world around us. We learn it in nature. We learn it by looking up at the stars. We learn it by looking at the birds flying in the air, things like that. Our own personal experiencing, seeking Him is also part of this learning. The Bible tests everything. We compare our experience with God's Word. We do not rewrite God's Word on the basis of our experience. Now, let me just stop there for a second. As we speak this morning, God's Word is being rewritten based on human experience. And that's a false story. We can't do that. The Bible does not change. It will not change. It cannot change. You know why? Because God does not change. God wrote the Bible. How shall we worship this loving Creator? In His Word, we are given many ways to remember Him, but there is one way in particular, and we must talk about tomorrow. Tomorrow. This way shows us whether we are worshiping Him according to His Word or according to our own convenience. Number 13. There is a dividing line in these last days. There is a dividing line in these last days. There is a way to show our love. There is a way to show our obedience to Him that makes clear whether we are Bible Christians or something else. Jesus spoke to a group of very religious people one day. Remember that story? But He told them they were worshiping God in emptiness. He talked about white sepulchers, remember? They claimed to be worshipers of God, but they were teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. They were setting aside God's truth to teach their own confusion. They had departed from His Word and were teaching others to depart from His Word. That was even worse. That was even worse. They were teaching others to depart from the Word of God. And some people are glad to be Christians as long as it costs them nothing, as long as they need not demonstrate submission. They are glad that Jesus would die for them on the cross, that He would buy them back from their bondage to sin, only to continue in sin. Their teaching suggests He leaves them disobeying. Their teaching suggests that, yes, God saves them, Jesus saves them to the uttermost, but yet they're free to continue in sin so they can go back to Jesus again, over and over and over again, with no growth. Is that right? Is that what the Bible says, honestly? No, it does not. It does not teach that. So for the folks that understand that, and I'm not saying anything against these folks, because they are where they are in their experience. But what I am saying as Bible believers, that's not God's will for them. We need to pray that they will be brought into an experience where they can see the truth in His Word. Right? Amen? Amen. But if we come over to God's side, if we're on God's side, we will show it. We will do something to show it. Not because we have to, because it's we can't do anything else. We want to show it. We got to get it out there. The faithfulness of our worship would show it. God does not save us from starvation by starving us. Right? God does not save us from starvation by starving us. He does not save us from sin by leaving us in sin. I know all too well. I can't stand up here and say that I've arrived or I'm perfect. That's not what I'm saying. But what am I saying? He does not save us by His Word and then leave us in disobedience to His Word. Amen. We finish today with Jesus. This Jesus who preaches to us by what He has made. The Bible says, in Romans again, this is a repeat, Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. The visible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. There's a lot of excuses in the world. And I've said a lot of them myself. But at the end of the day, we are all without excuse. Amen. Every person knows there is a God in conclusion. Every person, even the atheist who may be sitting here, maybe watching this someday, even that person knows there's a God. Believe me, they do. He made us, and then he told us that he made us, and he set up this world to tell us every single day and every single night that he made us. He even gave us a special way every week to remember he made us. And that's the Sabbath day. This Jesus who made this world died on the cross for you and me. He took our punishments, in which he had no part. And he gave us his gift of rightness. I say rightness. I can say righteousness. But I'm going to say rightness here. In which we had no part. Number 14, Jesus offers to forgive our sins and renew us and give us life. Many preach a powerless Jesus, a Jesus who accepts us but does not change us, who leaves us at least partly asleep under the stars. The Jesus we proclaim today is a Jesus who wakes us up, who puts the Bible into our hands, who forgives us and strengthens us to do right, to do right. This is a Jesus who can change the world. Human fulfillment is found in Jesus Christ. You are made for him. Everyone here is made for Jesus Christ. And so Jesus preaches to you and to me every single night. Oh, we have spent too much of our lives, I know I have, asleep under the stars. But how good God is. How good is God? That's probably a better way of putting it. How good is God to you? How patient he is, and how merciful. He calls you. He longs to build you, and he longs to restore you. He fulfills us. He has made us, and he invites us into his story forever. That makes a difference. What will you do with this Jesus? What will you do with this Jesus? I pray that everyone here and everyone who may be listening may take that question home with them and think about it. Even if you've been in the faith for many, many years, take that question home. What will you do with this Jesus? This Jesus that is the Word and the new life. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus. Help us, Father, to realize where we are in our experience with Jesus. Open our hearts, Father. Open our eyes. May we be willing to say, O Lord, search me. Search me, Father. If there is any wicked way within me, Father, please cleanse me. Renew me, Father. Restore me so that I may live right. Father, I know there are people listening to this message today, whether here in this congregation or on live stream. Father, I ask that you will draw especially close to each and every one as they offer this prayer up to you. May they indeed be changed by the rightness of the living God. May their lives be forever changed to live according to your perfect will and your perfect words of life. Help us not to be led astray by every wind of doctrine, the wrong stories. Help us to be as a needle to the pole, to stay true to what is right, the Word of God. May that be our faith. May that be our commitment from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen.